Okay, so we turn to Ephesians chapter 1, and I'll be reading a chapter here out of Revelation chapter 2. And then I want to put these two together. Unto the angel of the church at Ephesus write, These things saith he that holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know your works, and your labor, and your patience, and how you cannot bear them which are evil, and you tried them with, say, their apostles, and are not, and found them liars. And as born of patience, and for my name's sake have labored, and have not fainted. Nevertheless, I somewhat against you, because you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from whence you have fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto you quickly, and remove your candlestick out of its place, except you repent. But this you have, that you hate the deeds of Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Him that overcomes, will I give to eat the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Okay, and then having read that in Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 through 7, okay, you can turn to the book of Ephesians chapter 1. You can see how, in comparison these, how the church at Ephesus was functioning until the contamination of the doctrine of Nicolaitans and also the counsel of the Apostle Paul to the Ephesians, okay, and how he began his letter. Here the Apostle John also talks about, I know your works. Again, it's concerning the of how the Spirit of the Lord engineered, okay, the God code for the power. Okay, and for that is for the power of, this, of their faith there. That is after my likeness, and it only increases by faith. Now, God points out in Revelation, to the comparison to Ephesians here, okay, God points out to the church how he engineered a God code out of himself and set it as a power after his likeness and a portion of all things to preach to us that the God code is eternal and increases the fruit of the soul by faith for salvation, and it progresses in each living thing to teach us of this mystery. So here the Apostle John is addressing the discrepancies here at Ephesus, and you have also we've seen the Apostle Paul, okay, sharing with him concerning the deep things of the Lord. So we know by reading these, okay, that there was that they received the correction and grew. There's also spoilage there prior to okay, their turnaround, which has to do with the doctrine or the deeds of the Nicolaitans, okay, how they were spoiled. Now, when we read Ephesians chapter 1, you can see how the Apostle Paul also engineered okay, his understanding and showed them concerning all spiritual blessings. Okay, that is spiritual blessings. Now, why would he even emphasize that? Because okay, before that, okay, they were contaminated with the deeds of Nicolaitans. Okay, and that's why he says, remember therefore whence you have fallen, and repent, and do the first works. Okay, so he says, I know your works. And of course he said that seven times. Okay, of how these works were to be expressed, how the God code was to be expressed and increased by faith through this second covenant priesthood. That through the second covenant priesthood, we are to labor, okay, and we are also exercise patience, okay, and through this we also have discernment, okay, and there were those which came to Ephesus there that were claiming to be apostles and were not, okay, but they were engineering, the false apostles were engineering, okay, their faith with the moral code, okay, which had to do with the deeds of Nicolaitans, and the Apostle Paul then rectified that and engineered it with faith and all spiritual blessings, okay, the tools of the second covenant. Okay, so now we go back to the book of Ephesians. Okay, Ephesians chapter 1. Again, the Apostle Paul identifies his calling. Okay. So an apostle is not a rank but a responsibility. It's not a virtue but a calling of God's grace. Okay, fulfilling those things which Jesus spoke of in Matthew 20:25-28. Okay, so Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. So he's identifying the position of his stewardship, not with Moses, which the Deans and Nicolaitans were to be identifying with, okay, and this would produce spoilage with the priesthood, because it removed the people from the priesthood of Christ into the priesthood of Moses. And to be reflecting and participating with carnal things and precept, okay, rather than reciprocation with the holy knowledge of God according to Christ's fullness. Okay, and those which were of Ephesus began to entangle themselves, okay, with false knowledge. And by doing that, with the preaching of the spoilers, okay, those which believe that circumcision was necessary, as those today believe that tithing is necessary, and many today believe that tithing was before the law, which is true, and so is circumcision before the law. But neither tithing is applicable to the second covenant, neither circumcision is applicable to the second covenant, seeing both were fulfilled through Jesus Christ. Okay, and being fulfilled in Him, okay, we reciprocate with all spiritual blessings, with things which we touch not, taste not, and handle not. Anything that's to perish with the using is not applicable nor profitable for your faith. So the Apostle Paul and the stewardship of Jesus Christ, as he says, by the will of God, okay, that which the Spirit empowers. So the Spirit empowers this record, okay, the record of Christ, okay, not that of Moses nor the ark, which the children of Israel followed. Okay, but that ark which they followed was Christ, which was fulfilled in Jesus. Okay, so Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, he says here, by the will of God, not after Moses, but by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus. So here we can see one of the seven churches of Asia there, being rooted, okay, in Christ, and being fruitful with this new and holy knowledge. Okay, which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful. Now there's an interesting word, faithful. Okay, so now Paul's identifying their works, okay, as concerning they're showing consistency of the priesthood of Jesus, by which they're overcoming themselves, Satan, and the world. Okay, their consistency is now with Christ and not with Moses. Okay, neither are they mingling the covenants together, but they're rightly dividing the word, sending it when there's proper covenants and its proper weeks, and that is for this proper time, according to this present truth, okay, which Apostle Peter said, okay, which is identifying that which is applicable for this present time in the second covenant, okay, for the exercising our faith, for the increase of Christ. Okay, now he goes on here with the elements. Okay, these elements are identified with the faithful and of this covenant, grace, peace, grace, mercy, peace, mercy, grace, peace, okay, as the apostles bring out, as Jude brings out, okay, Jude brings out, mercy unto you and peace. The Apostle John brings out in Revelations, grace be unto you and peace. The Apostle Paul brings out here, in Ephesians chapter 1, grace be unto you and peace. Okay, we can see how he's joining these together, because without the accompanying power of peace, the grace of God will not take root within you. The presence of the grace of God challenges the seed of your conscience, okay, of your conscience, okay, and it calls it forth to rectify, okay, and to receive a reward. If the conscience is defiled, okay, then it wants to conceal itself, okay, from the presence of the grace of God, okay. But okay, if it is in the mode, okay, of searching and removing the obstacles, then the truth of God accompanies it, and the soul willingly receives the grace of God to be healed. Okay, and the grace of God is accompanied with peace, okay, so that the conscience itself enters into rest. So grace be unto you and peace. Now we see the grace of God here, okay, is that which has to do with this, the knowledge which is now being presented. Okay, the knowledge, how it's being packaged and presented, and how it's empowered by the Spirit of God, so that the wisdom which we preach unto you is not that according to the world, but according to Christ. Okay, as the Apostle Paul brings out, for we came not unto you, see, according to the wisdom of the world, okay, neither we convince you according to, okay, the princes of this world, It will be but our gospel came to unto you in the power of God. Okay, which power we take confidence in, and by which also we are saved. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Say, so grace be unto you and peace. Now this peace of God right here, okay, has to do with not the peace of the world, which is in circumstances, but it's concerning arresting the agitation of the soul and the conscience. Okay, it's accompanying the grace of God, okay, in order to bring it into rest, so that we're no longer seeking the expression with a God code with carnal things in covetousness, okay, but with coveting after spiritual things, desiring spiritual things, desiring the spiritual gifts to find completion, okay, and we find rest. So grace be unto you in peace, and he says here, from God our Father. So through this, he's governing our destiny, and through this form of relationship, okay, by the power of God. Our relationship is with the power of God, okay, which he is empowering this record, the record of our faith. Jesus Christ being the record of our faith, he has to do with the mechanics of this priesthood. Okay, the mechanics of this priesthood is found in keeping the commandments of the Lord. Okay, this ordered activity. And this ordered activity will be found in the next verse here. Okay, but here we have the witness, okay, which accompanies the record. Okay, and is empowering this pattern for your faith. Okay, as a spirit empowered, okay, the testimony of Moses, okay, when the Shekinah and the presence of God lightened upon the tabernacle, okay, and all the people rejoiced at this confirmation, okay, a sign from God, the empowerment, okay, of these tools, and the sign of God is the empowerment of this priesthood in your heart and your soul, okay, for the image and likeness of God. Okay, a true sign from heaven, okay, that you are in covenant with him, joined to the throne. So grace be with you, grace be to you, and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ, the living record. Okay, now in verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Okay, all spiritual blessings, you have to do those things which he sanctified by sprinkling these things with his blood. When blood and water flowed from his side, okay, upon himself, it was to sanctify this vessel, this pattern, this covenant, okay, for our faith. Okay, all spiritual blessings have to do with the gifts, the callings, the grace of God, the things which are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God. Okay, and gifts, callings, grace of God, prayer, preaching, prophecy, government, truth, and spirit. Okay, we know it's government, truth, and spirit because he begins his letters identifying the stewardship, okay, of the government upon the shoulders of Jesus. Okay. And the manifestation of the stewardship of his apostleship, of this governance. So, blessed be the God and Father. Now, it says, blessed be the God and Father. It has to do with that. The increase of his kingdom, okay, is through these spiritual things. All spiritual blessings. His the kingdom of God is increased by our labor with these spiritual things, which he also brings out in chapter 2. Okay, when he talks about this abundance. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all asking, of course that's in chapter 3. Okay, and chapter 3 verse 20, and also in chapter 2. They are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Okay, these spiritual things, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom, verse 21, all the building, which is invisible, fitly framed, grows together unto a holy temple in the Lord. So blessed be the God. Now, he says God again, which is concerning, he's governing our destiny with these things. He's engaging us at this point of contact with the tools and with the Spirit. Okay, and by this, he's sanctifying us. Okay, this makes us a peculiar people, different from all other nations, because all nations are being governed, okay, by the Prince of Darkness. Okay, but we are being governed by the Prince of Peace, Prince of Light, Jesus Christ. through these tools. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. You might want to highlight the word blessed us, which is these things by which we're benefiting and by which we're increasing, which we're rejoicing in, which the Apostle Paul brings out in Philippians. In Philippians chapter 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Rejoice. Build with the Spirit. Always build with the Spirit. Okay? And with this perception. Okay? He says, and the peace of God rule in your heart. See, that's what we just talked about here in verse 2. Grace be unto you, peace with this, with these things, government, truth, and spirit. Apart from that, you be scattered abroad. Apart from that, you become double-minded, as the Apostle James says. And he said, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Those that wander apart from the government of God are double-minded. Okay? And so the Apostle James encouraged them. Okay, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. It gives all men liberally and breathe not, and it shall be given him. Why? Why would James even say that? Because it would always affirm the government. It always confirmed the pattern of the Spirit, okay, and not the letter. But the pattern of the Spirit always works, okay, with the government of God. What God sanctified is what the Spirit works with. And by this, okay, your priesthood is made perfect and be no longer double-minded. So if any man ask wisdom, let him ask of God. It will always lead him back into covenant. Okay? It always leads him to healing, okay? And not the breaking of the bone, okay? But as concerning the ointment of the bone, okay? For healing. So blessed be God, our Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, which has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Okay? This is the light that we're to walk in. Now he that says, I love God and hates his brother, which is what? Right, walking according to chaos of this dimension, the chaos of this world, according to the Prince of Power in the Air. Okay, having his conscience is defiled because his reason is darkened, and he's working with other contact points. Okay, that's a dysfunctional priesthood. Okay, if you want your priesthood to be perfect, then you have to follow after this pattern. Okay, that they which are without us should not be made perfect in your priesthood. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 40. So blessed be God and Father, Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. So keep the word spiritual there. Okay, which has to do with nothing that's marked by time or corruptible, or as Jesus in himself. The Prince of this world comes, says it's nothing in me. Okay, my fullness is where you receive your fullness. Okay, which Satan cannot utilize, nor invade, nor intrude into. He cannot intrude into the spiritual things, okay, because he will mislead through carnal things. Okay, he's going to set up, okay, a kingdom, okay, which is going to rival my kingdom. It's going to follow a similar pattern, but it's going to be a different gospel, a different Jesus, and another spirit. Okay, the Apostle Paul brings out in Corinthians. Okay, and that it's by that many are subverted. Okay, they're subverted because they're sinning. They're sinning because they're not being joined to Christ. And not being joined to Christ by this government, by this priesthood, by the Spirit. Okay, and many are subverted, okay, because of that. Okay, verse 4, he goes on here, according as he has chosen us in him. Now there's the word in him. Okay, which we just talked about. Okay, in him has to do with this by this point of contact. Okay, contact and this vortex, this door. Okay, we are chosen. He has chosen because we're chosen, called, and faithful. Okay, chosen, called, and faithful. As with this priesthood, okay, concerning this calling, the calling to the second covenant. Okay, and faithfulness within these things. According to he has chosen us in him. All right, before the foundation of the world, which means God selected this point, this knowledge, this holy knowledge above all other knowledge, and this point of contact above all other contact points. Okay, that God had already predetermined. Okay, before the world was created, he predetermined an atmosphere of testing. Okay, in this atmosphere of testing, there would be two powers present. Okay, which one power he called iniquity. The other power he called righteousness. Okay, so that those, okay, which would choose in order to try to increase by the power of iniquity, okay, which is a signature of man, okay, and the moral code, will not find life, but death, because death is a cap upon the moral code, okay, or the God code, if it works with the moral code, it's the cap on that. Okay, but death is removed by the circumcision of Christ, for the God code to be expressed and increased by the record of Jesus Christ. If the God code works with the record of Jesus Christ, your faith is increased, your understanding is increased, your wisdom is increased, your experience is increased, your fruit is increased. There's no cap upon that, okay, other than that which the Holy Ghost or the Comforter is restricted to through the work of regeneration. There's no cap upon it. But the cap of death, or the sting of death, works with sin, because after sin, there's nothing for the God code but death. All right, let's go on here. According as he's chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy. Okay, a selection would be made by choice. Okay, concerning your choice. If you choose to work with a pattern of the record which God sanctified in his Son, the oath of the Lord, okay, then you will find life and you're predestined to the bosom of the Father. Okay, but if not, you select the contrary, okay, then you have been sealed or predestined unto death. God has determined these two destinies. Okay, that which is of flesh should be death, that which is spirit be life. That which is of darkness be condemnation, okay, and the lake of fire, and that which is of light, okay, be life. And that's what it says in the Gospel of John. And it was life, and life was light of men. Okay, by this knowledge, by this new knowledge, different knowledge, we would enter into a different experience and walk according to the rhythm of the Spirit, a different kingdom, an entirely different kingdom, a different perception. Okay? Because the perception of the world was for survival. Okay? And that was imposed upon Adam because of death. And that, seeing that he lost his light, death was put upon him because death came upon him because of sin. That when he had Satan's perception, he took a perception less than God's honor and glory. And by doing that, God says, if you take on a perception less than what I have issued in myself, which is life and light, okay, then you transgress against me. So whosoever transgresses abides not in the doctrine of Christ, has not God. He that abides in the doctrine of Christ, he has both the Father and the Son, as the Apostle John said. So if we take on a perspective less than God himself, then we transgress against God and offend him. Because we're taking knowledge lower than himself. Now, if we were to be holy, we have to take on the knowledge which he gives to us, which Jesus said, by which we're sanctified, by which we're cleansed, by which we are called sons of God. Okay, as Jesus said, now you are clean through the words which I have spoken unto you. This knowledge which I have spoken to you is different than all other knowledge. The knowledge which you have received, okay, through the earthly priesthood, it was to be challenged, was to challenge you for faith. But now, I give you a new commandment. And this commandment, this holy knowledge, is by which you are to serve God by. Okay, not the earthly things of Moses, but the heavenly things of myself. Because I'm going to ascend on high. Okay, and where I go, you cannot come right now, but you shall come later. Of course, that's where Peter was confused. Okay, and we see that in the Gospel of John, chapter 13. Okay. Then, of course, when Jesus was speaking these things, both Thomas and Philip and Peter were present, okay, as well as also the other apostles. Okay, but Jesus was showing them, I'm going before you, as the ark went before the children of Israel. Okay, they were not to pass this way, because they have not passed this way before. Okay, so you wait until the feet of the priest dips is dipped within the water of Jordan. When the water is stopped, and the priests stand on dry ground there, okay, that is when I'll give the signal for you to pass. And Joshua brought them across the river. We also passed through the fire and water, okay, just like the children of Israel did. Okay, they were under the cloud, okay, and under the flame, okay, and they passed through, being prepared. They followed the ark. And Jesus said the same thing. Now, You're going to go in an area which you are completely unfamiliar with. Okay? But I'm going to prepare a place before you. Now let not your heart be troubled. Okay, you had all confidence in Moses because I spoke to him and he gave to you the word of God, okay, which I made living to you. But now, don't let your heart be troubled because I'm giving you a new commandment. I'm giving you new direction, and I am your ark. I am your priesthood after order of Melchizedek. Now, I'm going to pass before you, and I'm going to pass over these waters. I'm going to dip my foot within the bosom of the Father, and I'm your door. Okay? And I'm going to prepare a place for you. Don't be troubled by this new knowledge, nor be challenged by this new covenant, which many are going to try to demonize, because they're going to say Moses is better. Okay, those which are familiar with their moral code will resist those which are familiar with my covenant and faith. Okay, because they're going to try to build a relationship with me on a moral code, okay, which I will not confirm. Okay, but they'll speak evil of you because you're going to be confirming me. Okay, which those that follow the moral code will sin against me. Okay, and this is what the Holy Ghost is going to do, convict them of this sin, because they believe not in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. So we see how the Lord himself spoke that his presence, this gospel, these commandments, and this new priesthood are going to challenge the moral code, okay, that no longer to work with the God code, okay, but work with faith. That's why many will speak evil of you. Okay, as Jesus said, remember the word I sent unto you? Okay, that if they persecute me, if they receive my word, they receive yours also. Okay, but they're going to persecute me, because I am not going to confirm their righteousness. Okay, their righteousness was that with the precept of the moral code, but your righteousness is by faith. Okay, because the letter killeth, but the spirit giveth life. Okay, you're to follow in my footsteps. Okay, you're to follow after me by keeping these commandments. Okay. And by this, that we have been chosen, as Paul brings out in chapter 1, verse 4, according as he has chosen us in him. Okay, so the Apostle Paul is giving them new knowledge, new covenant, okay, new priesthood, which by our priesthood we need nothing of this dimension in order for it to be perfect, other than love one another, as the Apostle John said, here is limit perfect. Okay, it's perfect through expression. It's perfect through the use of your priesthood. Okay, so that as you sow in charity, you reap eternal life. So being joined to him, joined to things of the throne. Okay, this is what the Apostle Paul is bringing out in verse 4 here. This has been prepared in heavenly places for you, which Satan cannot intrude into, nor he can contaminate, nor can he overcome. Okay, this is the key which Jesus is speaking to Peter about. Okay, it's concerning, this is the key of the kingdom, which Jesus gave to Peter, a chief apostle. Okay, by which the gates of hell shall not prevail against this pattern. Okay, because the gates of hell cannot ascend into the bosom of the Father. And we can see that in the book of Revelation, because the archangel Michael is going to have his foot against the door, and Satan won't be able to assault nor enter in. Okay, and this is what John noticed. I saw war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought, and Satan and his angels fought, and they were cast out. The gates of hell should not prevail against it, because again, Michael the archangel has his foot against the door. Okay, and I close, and no man can open, and I open, no man can shut. Okay, so according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Okay, that this would be the pattern for our confidence, that we should be holy by these. New tools. Okay, so we be holy as he is holy. We have been called unto holiness through the use of the tools of the second covenant. Okay, there is false holiness and there's true holiness. False holiness, okay, has to do with carnal things. And the carnal things work with the imagination. Okay, and with the wisdom of man, with the wisdom of this world. Okay, which things James said. Okay, which has to do with those things which are sensual, earthly, and devilish. Sensual, okay, because it works with man's passion. Earthly, because it works with the carnal mind of men, work with carnal things. And devilish, because Satan has contaminated these things with his touching. Whatever Satan oversees is contaminated. Whatever God oversees is blessed. Okay, and if you work with the things that are earthbound, then you also will be as children of wrath. Okay, which the Apostle Paul brings out. Okay, the children of wrath, which he brings out in Colossians chapter 3. Okay, we're to mortify those things, okay, which God has cursed. Okay, which the spirit of this world works with. Okay, which with the children of this dimension, this age, okay, are subject to and are not only subject to, but these are children of wrath, as Paul calls them. Okay, but we are the children of light, the children of the blessing, the children which are above, the children of the day, Paul says. So he uses many different words to define us. Okay, so that we are without blame, justified. Now, justified from what? Justified from the law. Okay, we fulfill the law through Jesus Christ. Okay, in keeping of his commandments, Jesus' commandments. Okay, the Ten Commandments address the flesh. The commandments of Christ address our faith. Okay, the commandments of this world address the things of this world, which is the moral code. The things of Christ address our faith, by which we are redeemed. See, we're redeemed by this knowledge, so that we will be without blame, offense towards God. Okay, so we should be holy, without blame, before him in love. There's we're charity there. Okay, your love is made perfect through the priesthood. Okay, because your priesthood is utilizing this new knowledge by which we are offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Because they're himself. Okay, we are merely mirroring back to God what he has provided for us. Okay, remember, Abraham, our father, spoke of this, that God himself will provide a sacrifice. And he provided his own sacrifice, which is knowledge, holy knowledge, okay, by which we reciprocate with. Not that which is combustible, not that which is consumed, not that which is ashes, okay, but that which is which your prophet spoke of, Isaiah spoke of. He was going to give us beauty for ashes. Beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Okay, those things, okay, which Moses, okay, gave to the children of Israel, okay, were all of debt. Okay, D-E-P-T, debt. Okay, it was not sufficient for righteousness. Okay, but God provided us a sacrifice by which, okay, we are no longer children of debt. Okay. So blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. This is what David, King David, discovered and worked with. See, that God is not looking, okay, for the physical. He's looking for faith. Okay. So let's go on here. That we should be holy without blame before him in love. Okay. Now, before him, which means before the eye of the Lord. Okay. What is the eye of the Lord looking for? That which he initiates and reciprocates with, okay, love, charity, okay, the charity which the Apostle John brings out, okay, which the Apostle Paul is bringing out, of course, which all the other apostles bring out, okay, that which is an expression of his work, rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Charity does not rejoice, okay, in frailty. It doesn't build with frailty. It doesn't build with anything less than God. It rejoices not in iniquity. Okay, because it's not God cannot be worshipped with those things that are less than himself. But we worship him with spirit and with truth. It rejoices in the truth. So we it says here, without blame before him. Okay, before him also has to do with an object of measurement. The eye of the Lord measures us according to Christ. Okay, not according to Moses, which is physical. Okay, but according to his fullness, which is Christ. Okay, before him in love. Okay, now, as we continue, be steadfast with our priesthood, using the three C's, conformity, consistency, and communication. Our communication is Christ. Now we're predestinated. Okay, which means we have been assigned this reward and this inheritance. We have been assigned, this has been assigned to us. Henry predestinated us to the adoption of children. predestination is assigned by choice. Okay, predestination is assigned by choice. Okay, if we choose to resist grace, we have been assigned eternal punishment. Okay, if we accept grace of God, then we have been assigned His rest. Okay, the reward of His light, the inheritance, the promises. Okay, which have been given to all those that believe. Verse 5, having predestinated us, the adoption of children. Now the adoption takes place, okay, by the mark of God, which is the Spirit. Now we'll bring that out here in chapter 1, verse 13, which he says here, in whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, okay, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also you believed, you received the Holy Spirit of promise. Okay, so the predestination adoption is according to this promise, which the Spirit is sealed us towards. Okay, which means he's effecting change within us so that we could be received of God, because only light can enter light. So it says here, to himself, which means he provided something to be received back to himself. So having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. Okay, according to the good pleasure, there's a word pleasure there. Okay, so you might want to highlight the word pleasure. Now we can see the unfolding of the God code. Okay, Jesus Christ is the oath of that initiation, okay, which he sanctified, okay, but only for faith. Okay. Having predestinated us unto adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. So the word will right there has to do with that which he's empowering for faith. Okay, the God code that builds with a record, okay, is that which he takes pleasure in. The God code with a signature of man, God does not delight in that. Because that only works according to the flesh. Okay, the record works according to the Spirit. Okay, that's why we're called sons of God. We're called sons of the Spirit. Okay, if we work with the Spirit. Okay, let me read that again, verse 5. Predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. Okay, so again, we are sealed for this purpose, and this is what he's empowering. Okay, this is what God is delighting in. He's delighting in the choices of faith. And because we delight in him, he delights in us to the praise of the glory of his grace. Verse 6. Okay, that which is the most highly esteemed in his plan, okay, is that which is engrafted within the vessels which he's receiving. And that's us. To the praise of the glory of his grace. The praise of glory. Now we'll see the word praise of his glory brought out here three times. Okay, verse 6, 12, and 14. The praise of his glory, which all those things which he's created according to the God code, is that which is the virtue of his faith, the virtue of his work, and that light which he takes the greatest delight in, the virtue of himself. Okay, so the praise of his glory, of all his creation, of all his possessions, of all his dimensions. God even testified that of Enoch. Okay, this only have I found among all my creation, okay, that pleases me. Okay, then he was speaking of Enoch. And so he took Enoch up into the seventh heaven, okay, the seventh heaven of Arabot, okay, and put him in the robes of his glory. Okay, equal to himself, the light of himself. Okay, and seated Enoch, changed his name, okay, calling him Metatron. Okay, and gave him a seat right there in the court to be to function, okay, according to the way God designed him. Okay, so he put in the robe of his light, gave him a crown and for his functionality. Okay, and 70 different titles. Okay, but of course, the reward which God has prepared for us. Now, the reason why God did that with Enoch was to give Enoch as an example to his angels. This is what I have in mind for all the righteous that are in that dimension. Okay, by which you are to serve them my word, and they will be your rulers. Now, the Apostle Paul said the same thing. Okay, when he said, which he brought on Corinthians. Okay. Okay, but at this present time, we're subject to angels. But in a time, we will rule over angels. by which also we will judge angels. Okay, this is what the Apostle Paul brings out. Okay, he also read the book of Enoch, and he concurs, okay, that Enoch's revelations, okay, were inspired by God, okay, and not written by a man of aspiration, which man of aspiration cannot enter into these mysteries. This is way beyond the experience of man. If it was the aspiration of man, he wouldn't even came close to these mysteries, because everything was centered upon his own well-being, which is the spirit of Antichrist. Okay, the spirit of Antichrist cannot enter into the things of the spirit, okay, because everything centers upon Adam's aspiration and his peace and security. Okay, which gospel is preached by the ministers of unrighteousness today? Okay, but you can see the Apostle Paul concurred to those things which Enoch received, because it did not affirm Adam's aspiration, his imagination, okay, nor his well-being, okay, other than that which is of faith. As Paul said, that which is in faith, so do. You can identify the pattern of Christ, the record of Christ, and the servants of the Lord according to this gospel. Okay, to the praise of the glory of his grace. Okay, so he says the word his grace because it has to do with that this element is going to bring the vessels of flesh unto my glory, to the praise of the glory of my grace. It will bring them to this point of experience, the praise of my glory. Now, wherein, verse 6, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. See that? He has made us accepted in the beloved. He provided a table for our nourishment, that by this we will reciprocate in his kind. We can see this in the book of Genesis, that everything multiplied and increased after its own kind. But what about the kind of God? Okay, it would need the spirit to reproduce after that kind. Okay, every animal, and after his own kind, would reproduce and multiply after his own likeness. Okay, but where was God going to, reproduce after his own kind? Well, that was through Jesus Christ, that he would beget sons and daughters. Now, this is what the Apostle John said. To whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Well, how can we, when we talk about born of God, we're talking about, okay, a whole process here. Okay, we're talking about God's maternity ward. Okay, not that on earth, but that which is in heaven. God has a maternity ward, whereas his angels, okay, are zealously bringing forth those of faith in his image. Okay, God's maternity ward. So whosoever believes that Jesus is a Christ is born in God's maternity ward of God. Okay, and everyone that believes that he begat, okay, everyone that loves him that begat, loves him also is begotten of him. So we see him a form of fellowship, exchange, and likeness. The praise of his glory. The praise of the glory of his grace. Okay, to the praise of the glory of his grace. And we see that in 1 John 5:1. Okay. And those which are born in his maternity ward are those which also bear in their bosoms the record of a record above. For the three that were recorded in heaven, the Father, the Word, and Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Okay, we are carrying the testimony of heaven in us. Okay, the praise of the glory of his grace. This is what the grace of God does. Okay, the grace of God is transforming us from darkness to light. Okay, from that which is of darkness, okay, and which was ignorance, into that which is, okay, of light, okay, the fullness of him, okay, which means, which he brings out in verse 17, has to do with, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of him, the eyes of your standing being enlightened. Okay, now let's go back to verse 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. Where are we accepted? Are we accepted in Moses? No, we're not. Are we accepted by that moral code? No, we are not. Are we accepted with associations, associating with the Virgin Mary, or event theology? No, we are not. Who are we accepted in? Only in the Beloved, Jesus Christ. All right, in whom, the Beloved, now, we have redemption. Okay, which means this has been provided for us. That is the completion of his work. That's why Jesus is called himself the Alpha and Omega. I'm initiating and I will complete this. This was a testimony of God even before his great princes there in the seventh heaven. Okay, I have created man and I will sustain him. It means I initiated this plan, right? And I will complete this plan. Okay, I created and I will and I will bring man from the lowest into the highest. He will rule over you and he will be your master. Now when the Lord Most High made this known to the great angels there in the seventh heaven in the courts of Arabot, okay, immediately at that point they made petition even to Enoch. They made petition to him and honored him as one of their own. Okay. When they saw what the plan of God was and how it was going to be unfolded in such a manner of glory, okay, they saw the great wisdom of God. Okay. And they weren't going to resist this, which at that moment, before, prior to that knowledge, they were resisting. How was one born of a woman, now walking among those who cleave the flames? What is this white drop doing in the seventh heaven, okay, among the angels of fire? A white drop which has to do with the soul of the flesh. How is this soul of the flesh, okay, among those who are of the great lights, as the great lights? That's why Jesus is the Father of lights. Okay, and we're also called lights in this world, aren't we? See, so we're sons of God. Okay, we have that title granted to us because of faith. Okay, in whom we have redemption through his blood. There it is. The redemption through his blood has to do with the covenant he provided for us. Okay, he's not, and when he says the blood right here, he's not talking about, well, he is talking about physical substance. Okay, but it's what it purchased. Okay, when he says redemption through his blood, he's talking about a covenant. Okay, this is a covenant in what? In my blood. He says, he wasn't just shedding his blood to sprinkle the ground with. Okay, he wasn't just a sprinkler hanging on the cross there. Okay, he was a covenant hanging on the cross. Okay, and he packaged the covenant in the knowledge he gave the apostles there at the Last Supper. And as he walked from the upper room, okay, at the Last Supper there, okay, over the brook Cedron into the Garden of Gethsemane. Okay, this knowledge he was sharing with them all the way there. Okay, and now, okay, when he was in that garden, he shed great drops of blood or sweat as if it was blood. Okay, this, of course, was the intensity of this covenant. He will see it through. Okay, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. The first thing he says, the forgiveness of sins. Okay, not only severing us from the kingdom of darkness, okay, but also removing Satan's fruit and sowing from our own soul. And of course, this is what your level one dreams are all about, okay, which the Apostle Peter brought out there in Acts chapter 2, okay, quoting from the book of Joel. Okay, that there would be a form of communication, dreams and visions and prophecy, okay, which God would bestow upon this church for fellowship, for communion. Our true communion lies within us with these tools, which we're continually partaking of. A communion, in honor of his Passover sacrifice. Okay, not reenacting the physical, but living the reality. We are living the reality of that Last Supper. Okay, this exchange, of knowledge. God is circumcising all Satan's fruits, all of his fruits without us. Okay, from within without. Okay, he's taking them out. And is restoring unto us the light of his face so that we can see him as in face to face. He's removing the cloud of, okay, a false knowledge from our understanding so that our perception is from the throne. So that by our perception from the throne, we honor him. Okay, if our perception is according to Adam, our gospel would follow suit. It would follow the same line of thought, okay, which is addressing... which would be addressing the issues or psychology of man, the issues of this world. Okay, but here it says, according to the riches of his grace. So underline the word grace there again in verse 7. You could draw a line from the word and grace in verse 7 there, or to the word and grace in verse 6. Okay, again, if grace has not been defined to us, then we would just we would remove ourselves from the mechanics or the machinery of this record. And we would just end up sitting there listening and not participating. But the word grace is granted to us in order for the functionality of this machinery. Okay, so that we can participate according to the riches of His grace. Which means the knowledge, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding which He is granting to us through the stewardship is for our functionality. Okay, it's for functionality in priesthood. These are your sacrifices, so that by these sacrifices, you will never fall short of the glory of God. Right? If your sacrifices are physical, you will fall short of the glory of God, okay? As we see in the Old Covenant. Everything in the Old Covenant under Moses was in portions and part in percentages. Okay, everything in Christ is of His fullness. Nothing falls short of that. Okay, and we see the symbolism of that fulfilled in the manna. So that he that gathered little had no lack, and he that gathered much had nothing over. Okay, everything was in its perfection. Okay, so also are your sacrifices of your faith. Okay, your spiritual sacrifices. Okay, nothing over, nothing lack, perfect. Perfect measure. Jesus Christ. Verse 8. Okay, wherein He has abounded toward us. Now look at this. Abounded. Now how this grace is abounding towards us, even at this present time. So that having your vessel full, you're able to offer a sacrifice unto God, which is acceptable unto Him by Jesus Christ. See? Okay, only light can enter into light. God only accepts that which is equal to Himself. And Jesus Christ is equal to Him. Okay? And we are affirming that, okay, by faith. Okay? We are confirming that. All true prophets confirm this one pattern. Okay? That's the pattern of Jesus Christ, the record of Jesus Christ. Okay? A false prophet, they would identify the things of Moses. You prophesy of your tithe. You prophesy of your circumcision. You prophesy of your Sabbath observation. You prophesy of your physical communion. You prophesy of your cleansings of water. Okay, but a true prophet of God would prophesy of the spiritual things, okay, which Christ is in, according to the riches of His grace, wherein He has abounded toward us in all wisdom. There it is again. Okay, wisdom and prudence. Okay, again, prudence has to do with how we're directing this. Okay, wisdom gives us direction, but prudence also shows a form of activity of how we're using this. And the word prudence also has to do with that there's an activity that's laid upon us, a responsibility of your priesthood. So the wisdom of God, okay, is connected to your prudence. Okay, the wisdom of God is connected to your prudence, okay, which is seen in the offering or the ordering of this knowledge in your sacrifices. Verse 9, having made known unto us the mystery of His will. Now we can see that through your priesthood, God reveals Himself. Okay, we see that this is what He did with Moses when Moses went into the tabernacle. Moses heard a voice from off the mercy seat. All right, God would communicate to Aaron. God would communicate to the priests. God communicated to Zechariah. Okay, from when Zechariah saw an angel. Okay, that was there. Okay, he communicated to him concerning his plan. Okay, a point of contact for communication and fellowship. Okay, a point of contact for mercy. Okay, a point of contact for reciprocation. It has to do with your faith. Having made known unto us the mystery of His will. Okay, so God unfolds Himself through these things. Okay, and this is where His power is engaging. Okay, His power is engaged with these things, according to the good pleasure of His which He has proposed in Himself. Okay, which means the God code, okay, which is set within the oath of the Lord, okay, is continually being progressive and increasing. Okay, as a river of the water of life, which proceeds out of the throne of God, clear as crystal, which speaks of the conscience, okay, and also speaks of the expansion of the soul. Okay, where is that water going? Everywhere it goes, it brings life. If you want your soul to expand, you have to use the tools. If you want your conscience to be clear as crystal, you have to walk by faith. Okay? And there is no cap of death upon those things. Why would God put death upon life? He doesn't. Jesus rose from the dead. When Jesus rose from the dead, He conquered death. He conquered hell. Conquered the devil. Okay? He's allowing you free expression through these things. Okay? But the moral code has a cap on it, which will exhaust the will. okay, and bring death. The moral code being precept. Okay, people are trying to offer unto God their feelings. Okay, they're trying to offer unto God their good works with the moral code. Okay? But our works are only good according to faith, which is according to Christ Jesus our Lord. Okay, it's by this which we are overcoming. Okay, which he has proposed in himself, before the foundation of the world, in the bosom, in the oath of the Lord. He proposes in himself. This is what he predetermined. Okay, for our obedience of faith and for our eternal inheritance going back into our Father. Our point of origin is our destiny. Okay, verse 10. Okay, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times. Now, the dispensation of the fullness of times has to do with the completion of all things. This would be the 10th week. Okay, the 10th week. The 10th week has to do that which is going to be, okay, where God creates a new heavens and new earth. Revelations 21 brings that out. Okay, he's talking about the 10th week. We can see the 9th week in chapter 20. Okay, we see the conclusion of the 7th week of the tribulation, the 9th week of the millennium of Christ, okay, and the judgment which God initiates in this dimension on earth. Okay, then we also see the great white throne judgment, which takes place in heaven at the completion of the 9th week, okay, where all the dead from the beginning of the world to the end, all those that died in their sins, be raised up, okay, and they will be judged, okay, of their choices of life. Of course, their choices was to use the God code with a signature, okay, with the moral code against the Lord, okay, rather than working with him. These were people that lived for the honor of man, not for the honor of God. They would be judged unworthy of the kingdom of God because their names would not be found in the Lamb's book of life. Okay? Their names were written in the book of the dead. If your name is written in the book of dead, that is your destiny. If your name is written in the book of life, that is your destiny. Okay, which is according to your choice. But here, that in the disposition of fullness of times, in the 10th week, he might gather together, okay, uniting all covenants in one expression. All right, in all in one experience for one reward, he might gather together in one all things, all covenants in Christ, okay, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Okay, we're talking about uniting two dimensions. We're uniting flesh and spirit is going to be united together, okay, in the bosom of our mother, the holy city, New Jerusalem, okay, because in the book of Revelation, chapter 21 and verse, chapter 22 brings that out. Okay, that's why the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Okay, they're saying, enter into us because this is your destiny. Use the tools of this covenant. Drink of me. Because if we drink of him, you shall never thirst. And eat of him, you never hunger. Okay, that means never hunger, which means the God code will never fall short. That will have its full expression because this is what God designed in you because this is what God is. And it's seen in all nature. It's seen in all living things. Okay, order, increase, and pleasure. And whom also we have obtained, verse 11, an inheritance. Okay, this is what I'm bringing you to at this point here, and we're going to close. And whom also we have obtained an inheritance. Okay, where? In the bosom of our Father, in the 10th week, where all things are coming to conclusion together. Okay, everything is pressing into his light. Okay, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who works all things, the gifts, callings, grace of God, government, truth, and spirit, prayer, preaching, and prophecy, and these covenants which he's provided for us, after the counsel of his own will, being the record of Christ, which is empowering all these things, for his pleasure forevermore. Amen.